Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the first meeting of the Othello City Council of 2017. If you would all please rise. We have a short silent invocation to start our meeting, asking for the blessing upon this council and upon this community for the decisions that we're going to make during this meeting and throughout the year. Now, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. We'll move to item 1.04 on our agenda, which is the roll call. And tonight, Angel Garza and Gina Doro are not able to attend. So I would entertain a motion to excuse those two council members.
Make the motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And moving to item 1.05 is citizen input. Do we have any citizens here tonight who would like to address the Othello City Council? Please raise your hand. I'll recognize you, and I'll give you up to five minutes to address the council on any issue you desire. Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the approval of our agenda. I would like to make a mention on item 3.05, election of Mayor Pro Tem. Would the council like to strike that item from the agenda and then bring that up again when other council members are present at our next city council meeting?
Yes.
Okay. So I need a motion to strike that.
I'll make that motion to strike 3.05 and move to a later date.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Which also brings up this review of this council committee list. We have two members that are gone. You guys want to continue on with that list tonight and assign and make assignments, or do you want to wait for another week?
I think we should wait.
You'd like to wait?
Sorry.
Guys, if they're not here, they just... No.
Yes. Yeah, just put them in where I am. That's right. Okay, so I need a motion then to strike 3.06 from our agenda.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, so then with those changes, I'll move to item 2, approval of our agenda tonight.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for tonight.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to our current business tonight. 3.01, the city and the mayor every year recognizes volunteers in our community who have shown not just one year or several years worth of community service to this community, but many years. And I chose Nancy Briggs, Faye Coates, Eric Morgan, and Bill Bethman to be honored tonight. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna come down to the front. I'm gonna call you up one by one. You will all receive an award, and I'm gonna read a few words about you. We did a little homework on each one of you, and then I'm gonna give you each a chance to address the audience, okay? So with that, I would like to call Nancy Briggs forward. Nancy, if you want to face the audience. Nancy is a member. We're here to honor Nancy tonight. I want to recognize or let people know that we couldn't get everything in on all of the research that we did, and so it's an incomplete and partial list, but I think it hits the highlights, okay? So Nancy is a member of the Presbyterian Adult Women's Society, also known as PAWS. And for many years, Nancy has been an active board member for the Othello Community Museum. She's been an active participant for many of the fundraising projects with the Othello Hospital Auxiliary and has served on the board for many years. Nancy is a board member for the Othello Cancer Support Group and is very active in their programs, which are near and dear to her heart. She sponsored the Relay for Life Survivors Dinner for several years. Nancy is a friend of the Old Hotel Art Gallery and has volunteered for them for many years. And she's also very involved in the local Quilters group. So, Nancy, it is with great pleasure to present to you the City of Othello Community of Service Award presented to Nancy Briggs for providing outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello, signed by the Mayor, Sean Logan. Thank you. And since you're getting awards tonight and being recognized, I'm also going to give you a ceremonial key to the City of Othello.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So now, before you go, if you have a few words you'd like to say.
Well, first I want to thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm very honored. However, my daddy called me and said who she was. The first thing I thought was, oh my gosh, did I forget to say what I did?
Good. My next community service award goes to someone very deserving, someone I've known for many, many years. I'd like to call forward Jeanette Faye Coates. Again, I feel bad because some of this list is incomplete because there's many things, but I suppose at some point we could have just asked you all the things you've done, Faye, but Faye has done so much in this community, and honestly, I don't know that you've ever really been recognized, at least at a level that I wanted it to rise to today, so if that's okay with you.
Thank you.
Yes. So let me read a few words about Faye. She's a board member for the Othello Museum, with this common thing of the museum going on, and composes the program for the annual opening day at the museum. She still works part-time at Columbia Basin Health and volunteers for other Columbia Basin Health programs. She's volunteered for the Sandhill Crane Festival for many years. She's very active in her church and volunteers with the Pilgrim Lutheran Quilters. And Faye and Will are very supportive of the local Lions Club and our community and its many projects. And it's with great honor that I present to you this City of Othello Community Service Award, Faye, for a volunteer who has provided outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello.
Thank you.
In addition, I have a key to the City of Othello I want to present to you. And I was thinking about this morning and I didn't get around to it and I apologize. I also want to present a key to your husband, Will, for all of the years that he has served here at the police department, doing the fingerprinting and all those things. So maybe tomorrow or the next day, where did Debbie go? You could make that available for Faye to give to Will. Would that be okay?
Physical work, and then Nancy Briggs also helps too. So we are and it's just a great spot to work on all these projects.
Thank you, Fay. My next volunteer that I'd like to honor is Eric Morgan. Eric? I want to read a few words about Eric tonight. Mr. Eric Morgan served in the United States Army for 38 years. He has served the area veterans and their families for more than 30 years as quartermaster of the VWF Post 8889. On Memorial Day, you'll find Eric at Bess Hampton Memorial Gardens and Cemetery from dawn to dusk, preparing the cemetery for the services and flag displays and helping take down the flags at the end of the day. We were advised that he also makes sure all of veterans and auxiliary ladies have flags from the VFW throughout the entire cemetery. Wow. I'm learning a few things, aren't I? He is a member and president of the Othello Community Museum and a member and past president of the Old Hotel Art Gallery and helps out in many areas. He also has spent more than 30 years as a volunteer fireman with four different departments. He assists with the Audubon Refuge tours to teach area elementary children about nature. He has volunteered at the Othello Sandhill Crane Festival and also served on the Othello Centennial Committee. He helps with the Christmas display at Pioneer Park and taking care of Santa's post office. Eric helps elderly and disabled citizens with snow removal every winter and has delivered baskets, Christmas baskets now, for 39 years. And it is with great honor and privilege to present to Eric this Community Service Award for outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello.
Thank you, Sean. Yes.
In addition, I'd like to present to you a symbolic key to the City of Othello for your service.
Anytime somebody gets called on to volunteer for something, they have to go out and get other people to help them and assist with them. So, although we're receiving these awards tonight, it's the team that backs us up or the people that work with us that this also honors. Because I can never accept an award without recognizing those who have backed me up and been part of this. And on the Christmas display down in the park, Pam Stelmer and her husband have done a lot of that. Matter of fact, I do most of it. There's a lot of work that goes on. I noticed they were working down there during summer, painting some of the displays and stuff. And we're supposed to be a committee, but we don't have one. I want some money from the city.
Yes. Well, you're at the right meeting to the councils right here. My final award tonight is to a very deserving gentleman by the name of Bill Bethman. And Bill, would you please come forward? I'd like to read a few words about Bill before I present the award. Bill Bethman demonstrates his gardening skills at the community garden and has helped plant flowers in the beautification flower pots on Main Street. He's a generous Eagle Scout supporter. He has supported many community programs, including Pilgrim Lutheran Quilters. He volunteers at the Othello Senior Center and helps with various chores, even most recently washing dishes. He volunteered for the Great Harvest at Sunny Farms in the fall and helped glean produce from farm fields, which was given to the local food bank. He also volunteers for the Othello Food Bank, and Bill has been a member of the Othello Lions Club for 50 years. He's been a member of the Lions Club and is currently president. He's a regular volunteer and has chaired many of the Lions Club community service projects, including the Eyeglasses Project. Every year at the Adams County Fair, you can find Bill making popcorn and cotton candy for the Lions Club Fair booth. He has mentored many of the Leo Club members to instill pride in community service. He has volunteered for the Lions Club Vision Screening Project. They purchased vision screener equipment to be used in the local schools, preschools, and local health fairs. Bill has chaired the White Cane Days for many years. And he was, before that, Bill was a successful pharmacist and businessman for many years in Othello when he owned the Othello Rexall Drug. And then with great pleasure, I want to present to Bill his Community Service Award for providing outstanding volunteerism to the city of Othello. Bill, congratulations. And also, I'd like to present to you a key to the city of Othello for all of your meritorious service to this community throughout your lifetime. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to say a few words? Would you like to say a few words, Bill?
Two things to say. The day they called me about this, on three occasions, people had helped me get a contracting device. I'm not a volunteer, is it? And, forgot the second one.
Well, thank you, Bill. How about a round of applause for all of our... Okay, going back to our agenda tonight, thank you very much for coming, everyone, and attending. 3.02 is the Othello School Board and Land Feasibility. School has many plans currently, and we have in attendance with us the School Board President, Juan Garza. And Juan, did you want to address the council?
I'd like to say good evening to Mr. Mayor and City Council and guests who are here. First thing I'd like to do is thank you for including us in your agenda this evening. It's very cordial and nice for you to accept our visit here this evening. And so before I move on, I'd like to introduce our district guests who have come with me. On my far right is Director Mike Garza, and if you would stand as I call your name. He is a school board member. Dr. Rob Simmons, also a school board member, President Pro Tem. Behind me is our Assistant Superintendent, Gina Bullis, and our current Superintendent, Dr. Chris Hurst. And so this evening, I am here because on December 14th, last month on the 14th, the Othello School District received two letters. And the letters detailed extensive full-range urban development requirements. Prior to the site being used for school facilities. And so we are here as a board and as district officials and administrators to initiate discussions with the city and to begin a dialogue, hopefully, and potentially from now and into the future with City Council and Mr. Mayor. And I know that there's gonna be some questions that are gonna be asked, and I'm gonna go ahead and ask the general question this evening regarding the letters that we received, and then I believe there's some board members that would like to ask initial follow-up questions as well. But and I understand as a board member that whatever questions we ask, you might need a few days to respond, and so we completely understand that. But the Othello School District is inquiring as to why the urban development costs are the responsibility of the land developers, in this case, the land that the school is looking to purchase. In lieu of the city completing these services, and what I'm talking about is water, sewer, and power requirements, and the collecting of late comer fees to the land developer. And so that is just the general question that I have in based on the two pieces of correspondence that we received from the city. And I know that there's a couple of board members that have follow-up questions, and so I'm gonna allow them to come up here as well. And what we'd like to do is begin some sort of a dialogue and discussion with the city to talk about the reasons for those urban development costs being given to the district. And so at some point, we'd love to come back and maybe do another workshop where we can have these discussions. And so I think, Director Simmons, you have some questions as well?
so thank you as well. First off, I want to say one thing that we've really appreciated over the last few months is the involvement that we've had with some city staff, Mayor Logan, when we've been having discussions about what are we going to do as we go forward trying to figure out how do we solve our facility needs. And so we have, I'm assuming the council is under, or knows about the land that the city or the district has put an offer on. Okay, so this is a piece of property between 7th and 14th Avenue on Lee Road. So it'd be 80 acres, 160 acre approximately parcel there. So then you probably don't know about the letters we received from the city. So the letters we received from the city were basically just laying out the costs for development of that. And some concerns that it might be a little prohibitive of us being able to build there potentially. So one of the things that I'll ask some questions that some of you might say, well, I don't know even how to answer that question because I don't know what you guys were told, but based on the cost that were given to us, or cost estimates, there was some engineering estimates, if we were to build on a different site, and I know because I was there at all the facility committee meetings that the city's growth, the city kind of looks for the growth to go south across Highway 26, and I totally understand that. And I also understand how if the district was to build a school south of 26, that would help the city probably with some of their future needs for improvements at those intersections of 26. One of the things we heard loud and clear from, I wouldn't say a lot of people at those committee meetings, because there was never a lot of people at those committee meetings, and you guys know how committees go. But we did hear concerns about people's kids having to drive across Highway 26 to go to school. I mean, we're looking for potentially a new high school location. And so when this property came available north, it was kind of exciting to us as a board because we thought, okay, now we don't have to worry about those concerns about crossing a major highway for these kids. But if we did find the property south of Highway 26 to purchase, I'm just wondering how would the estimated cost be different? I get that most of south of Highway 26 is not even city, annexed in the city, but obviously there's going to be cost to us from the county, and I don't know then what cost there would be once the city annexed the property. So it's hard for us to look at the costs that have been estimated this one really, or for me personally to say, okay, those costs are high or low. I really don't know because I don't have anything to compare it to. So that's my first question. It was kind of a long way into that question, but you get what the question was, like what would the cost differences be potentially if we went to a different site rather than the site north of town? One of the things that was in one of the letters, and maybe both, was a requirement for improvements to Lee Road, which I understand is going to be Lee Street, for access to the property. But one of the questions that came up when the board first discussed this was, why would we necessarily need access off of Lee Road to go into this property? There would be access potentially from 7th, from 14th, and then also from, we're assuming, streets that would be developed within that 160-acre parcel there, because we're understanding that the north side of that's going to be developed by a developer. So that was the other question. Why would, I understand that if access from a major road like that with a lot of truck traffic, there would have to be some development, but I mean, I'm thinking out loud right now without even, we haven't gone into any design phase or anything, but why wouldn't athletic fields on the north side of that 80 acres be kind of a nice buffer and not necessarily need access from Lee Road? So that's one of my questions. It just seems like there were some assumptions made, and I'm wondering if those are set in stone or if they're negotiable or things we can talk about, like Juan mentioned, that, you know, we're starting a discussion. And I think that's it, because I already hit on the one about the potential of going south of Highway 26. I mean, we looked at a lot of different options, and I think what in the end spoke loud and clear was concerns the community had about kids crossing the highway. And also, really, when you think about it, it's how close it is to the city and how there isn't a lot going on up there in that corner of town. It just seemed to us like a good opportunity to be able to purchase land and build there. But I also understand the zoning. I also hope that, you know, even though that it's the long-term plan is that is an industrial zone, that maybe changes that happen in construction also can change the future plans for zoning, and I understand that can happen too. So hopefully, now some of you, council members, I'm sure are going to say, okay, we need some information, now you're going to dig into this and learn a little bit more, and I appreciate the discussion started, and look forward to future discussions with it, and something that the city and school district really can work together on this, because a big part that's coming with this is going to be playing fields. And I'll just mention, since we're on that, the board is looking to potentially pursue a capital projects levy to start some type of athletic complex, maybe even before we go to ask for a bond for a school, because there's a need for athletic facilities right now. That would benefit our whole community, you know, not just school district, the students, but our whole community. So hopefully we can work together and keep the cost down and maybe share some, because ultimately it's all taxpayers' money, right? So anyways, that's all I have. Thank you.
And unless there's any questions that you have for us, I mean, we looked.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, I like an informal. So
okay, I've heard hearsay with regard to what, you know, your plans are, and what, you know, what you're going to do above the development that will be going in place there. But without having any, you know, designs, engineering, what we've instructed our staff to do here is to get out in front and explain to developers, people that want to come to Othello and invest their money in Othello, to get ahead of the game with them and kind of let them know what the costs are going to be incurred when they start to build something, to do a development, so that they don't get hit with these, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. And next thing you know, the guy's going, whoa, you know, come on. You know, I just can't do that. I can't buy the land for this much money. I can't do these, you know, these things that you're asking me to do. You know, I can't capitalize that entirely on my own and still make money off of what I've developed. So we've asked the staff to try to get out in front and let people know what the costs are incurred. Now, is with regard to your comments on latecomers fees agreements and actually asking developers to pay for the improvements, okay, the need of water, sewer, and roads, okay, those are all things the city can do. Those are things that we're allowed to do, all right? Latecomers fees, I've had great dispute over that, but it's something that you're allowed to do. But we're just getting started, so don't get discouraged. I don't know where this is coming from to say that you need to move south of 26. Because if we want you in the area that Othello is, south of 26 is the county.
And nobody said that we need to. We're just in conversations. I can't remember the term used, but the expected future growth was south.
Okay.
That's I remember hearing that.
And I don't know really what costs have been given to you in regard to what you're going to have to, you know, capitalize to do this project. Because portion of it, if you're behind a future development and there are roads going in from Lee Road, you know, I mean, that's why we hired Trevis to work all these issues out, you know, as a planner. And I'm sure you guys have been working with him very closely.
That's where the letters are from.
Okay. He's trying to let you know there's things that we need to work out, you know, and that your costs you're going to be responsible for. Those costs may not be as great as what he's put out there, provided the developer in front of you makes, you know, has his share of costs.
So, John, we do have the engineer's estimate, and some of it was assuming that the other developer would have some costs, sharing some costs. So that'd be great if you could look at more detail, because you know more about that than I do, and maybe in future conversations we can understand it a little bit more how close it is, because...
So, yeah, and I don't attend the school district, you know, meetings or anything that goes on there. You know, I've never had a child in this Othello school district. I don't think I will, you know, anytime in the future, but, I just haven't been given a lot of information, just hearsay through conversations with other people. But I would, you know, wonder, what are you going to do with the high school? Is that going to then become a junior high?
Potentially.
Okay, and then what are you going to do with McFarland?
We have a lot of community meetings and discussions to determine what is the best way to do that. A lot of discussions so far, but that's a great question.
You know, 15, 20 years ago, I was talking to Steve McCabe when Steve McCabe was on the board of directors for the school district, and I asked him, why are you building all these elementary schools? I mean, from a cost standpoint, from a business, put everything under one roof, you hire one maintenance crew, you hire one set of administration, you have, you know, everything's under one roof, you don't have five principals, you have one principal, you have one janitorial service crew, you have one maintenance crew. Why build five small elementary schools throughout the town, all within 1 mile of each other, pretty much? I mean, if you stood in Main Street, you could touch each one of them within a mile. But he explained to me that there's science that says children learn, and they learn better in smaller groups, and this is why we're doing this. You know, so there's things I don't understand about the way, what goes on with schools and stuff, too, and why you guys need to do what you do. Just for kicking this off, that's great. I'm glad you came and asked the questions. I need to get up to speed, and so do, I think, the rest of the council on what's going on. And I'm sure Travis is going to bring some information to us and let us know as it starts materializing.
Which is a springboard into my next comment. January 17th is a public meeting from 6 to 8 p.m. that the school district is hosting. It's a facilities meeting. It's directly going to begin. It's going to be sort of the kickoff to lay out the school board's plan. I've seen its plan in general scope, and without getting into all the specifics, it's an excellent plan, not only from a facility standpoint and what they're trying to accomplish, which that still is being worked out, the details, but from the educational aspect, which is really exciting, and what Dr. Hurst and the board have worked out as to how they want to begin to educate the children of Othello and bring them into a global society.
So this is where?
This will be at
McFarland Middle School, 6 to 8 p.m.
6 to 8?
January 17th.
17th?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Was there something else from any of the other council members that they wanted to mention? Go ahead, Larry.
One thing that me being on the council, and when you bring up things like, I want the city and I want the school to work together on this kind of stuff. I really don't want to hear downtown at the coffee shop that we can't do that. The city just going to cost this, this, and this. I'd like to see it's the future for our community. That's what I'm looking at right now. Whether we put it downtown Main Street out there, I think that's a poor decision out there, my own self. I think this is a great one, because then we got 26 like that. We don't, I think it's workable here, and that's what I'd sure like to work forward to.
So we have recently done cost share with development. You know, we've had areas where we had developers on the other side of a development that's not going to take place. There was no need to actually have any services going through this one area, but yet there was a development going on at the time, planned to be going on in just on the other side of it. So the city has taken on the responsibility of doing a cost share. We paid for the portion between the two properties to connect those properties, and we've come up with cost shares of the amount to do that with the developer. So we are looking at helping and doing, but it's very difficult for us because we're working with taxpayers' money. You know, we're working with all of the city's money, you know, and we got to be conscious of that as well, you know.
Is there other council members want to have anything they want to add? Let's go back to the question, where was the city beholden to South? The city wasn't beholden to anything. The only thing that, because I brought this to the city's or to the school board's attention back when, and it was only a suggestion, and the reason the suggestion was, you had the city with a strong interest. The city was talking to the school board about potentially maybe even if not owning and developing the facilities. We had access to grant money where we could help pay for those kind of facilities. You also had the Port District down there, and they had a development property that they needed to run, which the city ran the water to their property, to the edge of their property. And so there was already water there. There was already plans to have sewer put to that property, which would have greatly reduced the amount of cost for the school district. That was all I was thinking, okay? I saw three entities who had money, and I saw three, you know, that were taxpayer funded, and they would be able to go together, and it would reduce the overall size and cost to each one of the different entities. That was my reasoning at the time. But again, like I said, even then, this is still up to the school board. This is still up to the community to make those decisions. I certainly agree with the decision of wanting to go north. I certainly agree with the statement that Dr. Simmons made about if it does decide the community and the development does go north, that doesn't necessarily mean that's all in stone. It could be changed potentially. I think maybe what would help the school board is to understand what our process is. And typically, when you have a project of this size and complexity, which really has not been looked at in the city of Othello, maybe in the history of our city, of something $80, $90, $100 million investment, there are issues, there are details, there are some of those details need to go through a process. So the letter you received is the first step in the city's interaction, and that will run typically with the staff, i.e. Travis, Wade, Terry, because those are the people that are looking at the city code, looking at what you're trying to do, and trying to help you come to the best conclusion that's overall, not only for your project, but for the rest of the community. So as some of these details come out, where the council would be involved is then at some point that we decide we want to cost share. We agree with what you're doing. We want to participate in that. Then the council would have to appropriate the money, and that's when they would vote on it. Now, that doesn't preclude council members from wanting to know more and wanting to be in the know. They're free to attend any of your committee meetings. They're free to certainly join the committee that's going to be meeting regularly, I understand. And maybe that would be an appropriate time to have either Gina or Chris let the council know what the plan is and how you intend to unfold it with the meetings.
Good evening. So the first of our meetings is really a community event, and it's designed to get all of the community involved in what is the best method or best route to go for our students and the future of the school district. So we're having our first meeting on January the 17th, like we said, at McFarland Middle School from 6 to 8 p.m. We're hoping that all community members will be there. And what we'll do is we'll hear a historical context about what we talked about before I arrived here as a superintendent. The decision was a high school. And then you'll hear the new superintendent, myself, come up and talk briefly about the possibilities, the future, preparing our students to compete in a global context, as the mayor has shared. And then what will happen is we have 15 facilitators that will actually break out the community in smaller groups and to go into a detailed discussion, a little bit more about the historical context and about the new vision. And right there on the 17th, the entire community will have the opportunity to have their voice heard about this is the direction we want to go as a community. And it may be we still want to do a high school. And we still want to move in this direction, but even if that's the case, there has to be continued conversations, continued study and research about what type of high school. Will it be an innovative high school? Will it be a STEM high school or a STEAM high school? What will be the components? What will be the curriculum? What will be the makeup of that high school? Or it may be a decision where the community as a whole talks about it's going to be something else, because there's other things to consider. As I've shared with our board of directors, we have overcrowding at our middle school. We have early literacy, which is a huge issue, where our students are not even coming prepared to kindergarten, ready to engage in the learning process. That is a big issue. And then there's other issues, global competency, pathways, STEM, integrated projects. So that may be an approach that the community wants to explore more. So once we have that big community meeting on the 17th, then we'll reach consensus at that meeting and say, we're going to go either in this direction, option A, which is continued high school, just explore the high school, or option B, something more for our students, or something else for our students. And then we'll actually plan, and we have different dates planned out, where we'll break up into smaller groups, which will we call research and design teams, and these committee members will then explore the research about either option A, what type of high school, or option B, something else innovative for our kids. But the exciting thing is every community member gets to participate in the conversation and in the research and design of either option A or option B. So we do have a detailed timeline that we can get to you, Mr. Mayor, and to the council members that really lays out the 17th, what happens on the 17th, but then what happens in these smaller meetings. They're going to lead throughout January, February timeframe, and then lead into the bond committee process. So we can get that to you. But it starts on the 17th, so we'd appreciate if you could be there.
What I hear the school district saying, Juan and you all, Dr. Chris, Gina, Mike, and Dr. Simmons, is come plan with us. Come plan with us. Because we got some big plans, and we've got some small plans, and when these plans all, I mean, just from what I've seen, and I'm not exaggerating, when this is all rolled out, and the full curriculum and the full facility plans and everything are all in place, Othello is going to change its image from being, you know, one of the lower end to being one of the more desirable in the entire state of Washington, if not in the Northwest. And so what they're doing is giving us an opportunity, and they're saying, come plan with us. Come be a part of something big. Be a part of something that's big in this community. And that's what I really hear them saying. So I think what the city, what you're hearing the city is saying is, yes to that invitation. And I think that one of the things the city is also saying is, when you plan and as you make these plans with us, there are some considerations. And when you have several entities working together, there's an opportunity for each side of us to use our respective abilities and accesses that we have to grant money, to creative solutions, to cost sharing, to anything that needs to be done to make Pocatello the school system that you guys are literally unfolding before us. So I really appreciate your comments tonight. I really appreciate your guys' invitation. And I would encourage every member of the council at a minimum to attend that meeting on the 17th. I'm going to be in Olympia that night, but I want to be on one of the committees. Okay? So we can discuss that. And at the council, if you can't make or attend that meeting at McFarland Middle School on the 17th of January, and you still want to participate in the process, I would encourage you to contact Gina or Dr. Chris, and they would be more than happy to discuss what different committees there are and what your areas of interest are. Maybe Larry McCourty, he just wants to be on the Athletic Facilities Committee, you know, or maybe he wants to be on the, you know, School Facilities Committee or whatever the particular committees that you have. I know you guys would accept any one of us, and we want to participate. We want to help you build something really good, because you know what? In a small community, the schools are probably one of the biggest things going. They really are. And so with that, do you guys have anything else?
I just want to take a brief moment to thank you guys for letting us be here, like Chris Akers said. And I look forward to the venture.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a cooperation on both sides. It's going to take, well, the invitation's been out. You've set up the planning portion of this. I don't think you're exaggerating when you say that the goal, the plan the district has for the academic progress that we want to see in Othello, is that being my new, no, it is grand, it is on a grand scale.
Mm-hmm.
As if you posted there on the 17th, you'll hear the presentation. And I just want to thank you guys for giving us this time tonight and saying I look forward to continuing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You mentioned something about the process of this. When you have these kind of plans and you involve the community at this level, it's going to be, we're still going to have to sell the community on spending $100 million or more. And so knowing that the school board has walked through a process, city council has participated with it and are behind it, other members of the community are with this, I think it makes it a much easier task then to sell this to the community when they can see a overall big plan. I think I told you one time in one of the meetings that when they wanted to blow up the kingdom and start over and build a new Quest Field and a new Safeco Field and all of that, and when I first heard that, I think they had a boat for that, and they were going to use taxpayers' money to do it. And I think my ballot came in early, and I voted against it because I lived in Eastern Washington, and you know, I had all my little reasons that I didn't want to do that, and I didn't think we should be spending money. But then I read what it was they were trying to do and what they wanted to accomplish and how they were going to bring world-class athletic soccer and all this. Sounders just won here a month ago. I wanted to get my ballot back. I wanted to change my vote. Thankfully, it happened. And I think that this is one of those that those who don't know anything about it may be opposed when they see the price tag. But when they see what has been laid out and what is planned, this could be one of the biggest things that's ever happened to this whole community. So appreciate your effort. Anything else you guys want to add before you go?
Thank you very much for allowing us to come.
Yep. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. You don't have to go. You can stay for the rest of the meeting. Huh? You guys can't get out of here fast enough.
Okay, we're going to move to item 3.03 on the agenda, and we have Amy, our Park and Rec Director, with a Cal Ripken lead fees information.
Good evening. So the reason that I'm coming here tonight is I'm looking for consensus or permission to move forward with advertising for registration for the Cal Ripken League that's coming up. Registration dates will be January 30th through February 10th. They'll be able to register Monday through Friday at City Hall, and then we'll have two evening registrations to accommodate other people's schedules that can't make it during regular business hours. I'd like to get out in front of this as early as possible with advertising, because the registration date is much earlier than it has been in years past. February 23rd is actually marked on the school district calendar for the pre-existing league's registration date. With the needs to order equipment and uniforms, and this being the first year, I don't want to find myself behind by any stretch of the imagination, so I'd like to get out in front of this as quickly as possible. And in order to have families be able to make accommodations both financially and time-wise to make it to those registration dates, I'd like to start advertising the registration dates. An important piece of that information is the fees that go along with it per age division. And I understand that an amendment to a resolution for the park fees is needed in order to officially establish the fees for this recreation league through the department. But I would like to start advertising for registration. So what I've brought for you in the agenda memo are the suggested fees for each level. Peewee ball and T-ball will be at $35 per player. Minors, baseball, and softball at $50, and majors, softball and baseball at $60. These are, with the exception of Peewee ball, they are $20 cheaper than participants have been paying in the past. Peewee ball is actually slightly higher than that. So I think they're getting like a $28 discount based off of previous year's fees, and they'll be able to have access to a full head-to-toe uniform along with those reduced fees. What I attached for you was a very old but original cost analysis for the league, which is what I first presented to you. The reason that I gave you the original one was because this is the one that you had already seen. We've already made some adjustments to this, and the biggest adjustments have come off of the estimated cost. We decided to not use pitching machines for any of the age divisions in order to improve the skill level of the players a little bit more quickly than they've been accustomed to in the past. So we'll save a little bit of cost there. And these numbers don't reflect that savings, but I wanted you to see what you had previously agreed to based off the information when you went ahead and decided that this would be a good direction for the city to move in. So at the end, the very last of this, it shows the total income based off of the sponsorship goals of $200 per sponsor times 40 team sponsors, plus the registration fees will bring in $30,260. Which this year will not cover the total cost of the league, but that's only due to the exorbitant cost of needing new equipment across the board. So with these fees that I'm proposing, profit is in our future, in the next year, and the years to come after that likely. So I guess if there's any questions or concerns about the amount that I've set, otherwise I'm just looking for you guys to say, go forth and advertise, and then I'll bring a formal motion to you at the next meeting.
Love it. I like the diminished fees for the little guys, because they don't play as many games.
Right, and yes, they won't play as many games, but they will be able to play on the field. So the Peewee kids have played in the grass before and just sort of chased the ball around the grass. So we'll be able to let them play on the field and get that on-field experience. And I have a parent advisory committee. We've met twice, just to give you a very brief, because it's already been a long meeting, I know, update. We've had 9 parents come to both of the meetings. It's been really good discussion. The last meeting we discussed the minors division and what the rule changes we would like to see for that division. Next we're going to have a discussion about T-ball. It's been very, very positive. Lots of excitement from the community members that are involved in it. Always a challenge when you get opinionated people around a table, but sometimes those are the people that do the most for you. So we've had some really good and heated discussions, but at the end of the day, we've all come to agree on what will be best for the community as a whole. And those folks will be out helping recruit coaches and helping recruit sponsors and, you know, helping out in the on the legwork of things, and from somebody who's chased down volunteers for pretty much my whole entire life, I can tell you how appreciative I am of that. So, they're happy with this. They're sitting on go. I've got the paperwork filled out to send into the school district so we can advertise through the schools. I've got Becky working on translations, so this is the last step in that process.
What happened to all the old equipment?
So the old equipment technically belongs to what will be considered the sole proprietor of the league, which is Mr. Pete Guzman. And he has, there's no legal reason that he can't keep the equipment. Parents gave freely their fees to allow their children to play in a league that was developed by him. And
Othello Youth Baseball.
Othello Youth Baseball and Softball League. And they weren't registered with the Secretary of State, so I thought maybe we would have a chance there, but legal advised that we should just identify him as a sole proprietor, and basically it's his equipment to do with whatever he pleases. So he came to pick up the rest of his equipment about 10 days ago, and so I'm not sure what he'll plan to do with it, but there's no interest in sharing.
Okay. All right. And Council, you have any questions, Amy? Or any objections to what are...
Nope.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Amy.
No problem.
But you're not done, because we're going to move to item 3.04, Tree City USA update.
So I got an email, and we were officially awarded the Tree City USA award. So all of our hard work has been rewarded. Ben Thompson, who is probably the person that I've been working with the most in this process, is going to come in April, and he is going to run our first tree planting clinic in the spring, where we will open it up to the public to attend. Anybody who attends will get to take a seedling home with them, and they'll learn how to take care of it and plant it through the clinic. And then he's going to stay over. That'll be on a Sunday afternoon on April 2nd. He'll stay over and attend the April 3rd council meeting to officially give the award to the city of Othello. So it was with great pleasure that we worked through all the details that we had to get there. It was a lot of work this year, but I know that next year will be a lot easier. We know what we have to calculate ahead of time, and the ordinance is already written, so this was definitely a group effort. Everybody felt a little bit daunting towards the end. I wasn't quite sure if we were going to get there, but we did, so that was excellent news.
Thank you, Amy.
No problem.
Here, let me just add one thing. This started the conversation the mayor and I had the conference last year in 2016 in the spring, and we came back and basically turned it over to Amy, and she ran with it. So she says there's a lot of hard work and a lot of people, but I will just like to say a word of thanks to Amy for really taking the bull by the horns and running with this thing and making it happen. She hadn't stayed on top of it, like some things tend to do if we're gone by the way, and she did. So hats off to Amy and all her hard work.
Yeah, good job, Amy.
Very good job, Amy.
I did forget to tell you one very important thing. Every year, no matter what, as long as we get the award, we get $500 towards planting trees. So $500 will automatically go towards the 14th Avenue project, which isn't a block of trees by any means, but it's some nonetheless. And then every year from here on, it's an automatic reimbursement of $500. And then there's also additional grant money that will now be available to us just through that program, not to mention the, you know, check in the box on other grant applications. So hopefully it ends up paying off for us really well in the future.
Have we started on the process of finding somebody to help Amy? Have we started on the process of trying to find someone to help Amy?
Good question. Amy's already hired that person.
Good.
She started last Thursday. She's amazing.
Good.
Just one thing that Terry and I have learned, if you don't want something done quickly, don't give it to Amy. If you want it done in an expeditious manner, then give it to Amy, okay? So.
And I'm going to take that as a compliment and sit down.
Okay. Thank you, Amy. So then we do have a business item, moving to item 3.07, and that is to reappoint Terry Thompson to the Planning Commission. He's indicated to myself, I believe Travis, and I don't know if any other council members, he does want to continue to serve. And he appointed by the mayor with the confirmation by the city council. So I would entertain a motion to reappoint Terry Thompson to another term on the planning commission.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Terry Thompson is now reappointed. Move to item four, committee reports. Are there any committee reports to be given tonight? Okay, I want to point out on item 5.01, on February 6th, we're going to have another transportation benefit district meeting. I believe that is when we are, is in our bylaws, is when we would host that meeting. So you'll attend at 6:15 for a short transportation benefit district meeting, and then we'll move into our regular workshop that evening. Okay? And then, let's see. Dollar Tree is having a cold open on Thursday, meaning you can walk in. They're opening at 9 o'clock, excuse me. And then on Saturday at 9 a.m., they're going to have a ribbon cutting. So low-key affair, as they told me. I just talked to Bill, the district manager of Dollar Tree, and he is excited to be opening. But they are going to open with, he called it the cold open. I don't understand all these open terms or whatever, but mainly it means anybody can walk in and they're open for business. You can buy your dollar items. And then Saturday, of course, is a, there's going to be some things for kids. There's going to be a couple other things that they're drawing that they're going to have. And so that's Saturday, and I've pointed him in the direction of Bianca at the Chamber of Commerce, because the chamber is typically the entity that does the these ribbon cuttings. And so between the chamber, I'm going to attend. And so I would encourage you guys, if you don't have anything going on Saturday morning, please attend. And having...
Saturday morning?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Yep. And with no further business... Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to have, if we could have staff look at some of the other towns around us, see how much they're paying a city engineer. And I think that's something that we need to start working on. I know it's not a short process.
Right.
So I'd like to see if we could get some, you know,
information on that. You get some information together. Information. We've talked about it in the past. Let's get some information together so we can bring something in front of the council.
Yeah, we've done some preliminary work on it and see what. Let's have to decide what type of engineer we need to have, how that would fold in with our current engineering firm, because we cannot, this I know, we cannot afford to hire the same level of service that we get with our current engineering firm, because of all the different levels, different things that they're into. To get one person to do that is, I won't say it's impossible, but it's not very practical, because they have different experts in different fields. So we have to determine what level of engineer this I've learned, and then move forward with what, how much it costs at that level. So.
Well, I know, like, Quincy has one. Moses Lake has one. Right. Just, you know, what do they get paid at those places?
And we can
so we have an idea.
What is their role and responsibility within the city to be an engineer? You know, if you're hiring a civil engineer, he's a civil engineer. He's going to know about civil engineering.
Right.
Okay. So he can do a lot of setup for an outside engineering firm.
That would be the idea.
That can, you know, give him the detailed engineering.
Right.
At a lesser cost, because he's already done a lot of preliminary
sure.
work for
yeah.
him.
Like, we're just doing an overlay.
We wouldn't want the
right.
guy to do
right.
all of the work. We want him to be an engineer to get the work prepared.
And that's the concept we're looking at. I know Moses, I believe, has a whole engineering staff, unless I'm wrong. They have
a little bit bigger than us.
They're bigger.
Size,
bigger, bigger than
engineering staff.
Yeah, but yeah. Quincy, I don't know if they got, probably only have one engineer. I need to investigate and see. But we're, that was one of the tasks to start doing this earlier this year already. So
So could we get that done and accomplished within the first quarter of this year?
That would be my goal, yeah.
Okay. So can we set a date for that so that we have an idea when we can hear back?
It won't take that long, but yeah, we can do it by end of February, middle of March, you know? Pull up the calendar of March, thank you. So we say no later than the second council meeting in March and with chief for earlier than that then.
Okay. And if we do it sooner, fine. Okay. Is there any other new business? All right, hearing none. We'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:37 PM.